Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Morning, Ruth chapter number 1, verse number 19. And I'll give you a little thought out of fear. I hate trying to break in a new Bible. Does anybody know what I'm talking about on that? And especially when it's a different text than I've ever used before. And I'm not talking about the King James. I'm still using the King James. But the font and everything. And I had to make a decision yesterday. And some of y'all will get here. I used to make fun of people that had Bibles with great big print in them. Y'all with me? I used to think, well, that old fogey man, they need to get them something else. And I went to Gullion's yesterday, and I looked at Brother DeWhite's daughter, and I said, I need the smallest, biggest Bible you got. And she said, do what? I said, I need the biggest print and the smallest Bible you got. And so, Miss Regina, you can probably read it sitting back there today. And it was that or wear glasses in the pulpit. And the problem with that is y'all are all blurry. Because whenever you're looking from up here down at y'all, everybody was blurry. Look the best y'all had the past couple weeks when I preached in them. I come in here today and didn't have them on. I thought, man, they some people got real ugly. No, I'm just picking. So I had to go to a bigger print Bible, and I got home this afternoon, and we was eating lunch around the table. And I said, guess what, youngins? And they said, what, Daddy? I said, I could see my Bible this morning. I said, it was so nice to be able to see my Bible. So I don't make fun of people with big print anymore. Amen. Look in verse 19. So they two, which we learned this morning, is Naomi and Ruth. So they two went on, or went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Now we used the beginning of verse number 20, and she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara. Then the latter portion of verse number 22, where the Bible said, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Whenever you study that, that is a new season there. And I began preaching this morning on from Mara to mercy. We talked about how Mara means bitterness, but God showed mercy. Amen. And we'll pick back up tonight and try to finish it. Father, I love you. God, thank you, Lord, for such a wonderful place to come worship you tonight. Father, I was watching the people as the choir was singing. God, I was watching hands as they was lifted. And God, I was thinking about prayer requests. God, and the people that was sitting here, some of them with their hands lifted, that there was a time that we prayed that God would bring them to church. And here we are tonight. They're in the house of God. And I just want to say thank you, God, for answering prayers. Thank you, God, for what you're doing at Amazing Grace. I stand absolutely amazed at what you're doing, God. It's just such amazing how good you are to us. God, we're not deserving of it. But I just want to take a minute and say thank you for it, God. Thank you for visitors. Thank you for people saved. Thank you, God, for what you've been doing in our midst. God, I pray that you'd help us tonight. God, we'll be careful to give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. I'll try to rush through this and get done. I know we've got choir practice, but at the same time, I want to give you the conclusion of this morning. We began looking at the life of Naomi this morning. Of course, the majority of the preaching out of the book of Ruth is dealing with Ruth, and I understand that. She is the main character of the Bible, of the book, her and Boaz. But there is a lot to say about this lady by the name of Naomi. And I didn't even deal with all of this morning. I'll just throw it out in passing. It was in my introduction. I never dealt with it. We can look at their rebellion when they left Bethlehem, Judea, and went to Moab. We can look at the results of their rebellion because Elimelech and Mahlon and Chilion dies there. We can look at Naomi's repentance because she arose in verse number 6 with her daughter-in-laws that she might return to the country of Moab. We can look at her resolve, the two women, in verse number 19 that they came to Bethlehem. We can see her return there. She did make it back. We can look at the rebuke in verse number 19 because the people was moved, and I dealt with that this morning. But we can see her reassurance in verse number 22. You say, well, preacher, how do you get that? Well, everybody else was stirred about and was murmuring about her coming back, but God had something different to say about it. God reassures them that there is a new season in their life because they come back at the beginning of barley harvest. In other words, a new season in their life. And can I just say this to you? You may have rebelled on God, but if you'll repent and resolve to go back to Him, there is a reassurance that you can have that God will allow you to have a fresh start. And I don't know about you, but that sure does bless me tonight to know that. We began looking at Naomi's name, and that her name means pleasant, delightful, and sweet. And as I think about that, I think that probably described Naomi before she got out of God's will. She was probably that person that was pleasant, delightful, and sweet. But they made a hasty decision in a bad time, and it cost them a lot. Can I just say this in passing? You better be real, real careful about making a hasty decision in a bad moment. Let me just say that again. You better be real careful about making a hasty decision in a bad moment. You know what? If you think in the backside of your mind, bless God, I need to deal with this. I need to take care of this. Probably the best thing to do is to take 2 or 3 days and fast and pray about that thing before you open your mouth about it. Because once your mouth is opened, once words are said, they can never be taken back. Be careful about making a hasty decision in a bad moment. That's what they do, and boy, it leads them down a road of destruction. Whenever Naomi comes back, we learn this morning that she returned, and the way that she returned was there was a needful message. She heard of that. They had bread in Bethlehem, and we dealt with Naomi's noticeable move in verse number 7. She comes back to Bethlehem, and how when she gets back, God shows her mercy, and God takes her from bitterness to blessings. Everybody else may have dealt differently with her, but God dealt with her and took her bitterness to blessings. I talked about that word move and how that word moved means this. It means to murmur. It means to stir. And the people there in Bethlehem was stirred up about her coming back. They was murmuring about her coming back. And she said, well, just call me Mara. Can I say this to you? The world may try to drive you to bitterness, but I sure am glad God never called her Mara. Matter of fact, God never even acknowledged that she said that. Just think about that. God never acknowledges it. You want me to tell you the reason why? She was probably speaking out of the flesh. God never calls her Mara. God never acknowledges that she called herself Mara. No, God said to us, Naomi, there's another chapter to your life. I'm going to take your bitterness and turn it into blessings now that you have returned. So number one, we looked at Naomi's return this morning from bitterness to blessings. Number two, stay with me tonight. I'm going to preach real fast. I see her restoration from emptiness to engagement. From emptiness to engagement. Her restoration. I sure am glad that we serve a God of restoration. Can I say that again? We serve a God of restoration. What did the psalmist say in Psalms 85? He said, "Wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee?" He never asked to be saved again, because once saved, always saved. Can I get an amen right there? He never asked to be saved again. Hey, can I just say this to you? She was a citizen of Bethlehem when she left, and she was a citizen of Bethlehem while she was in the world, and she was a citizen of Bethlehem when she came back. Thank God the night I got saved. Oh yes, there's been times that I failed Him, but there's never been a time since then that I was not a resident of a heavenly place. There was never a time that the blood of Jesus was not applied to my life. There was a restoration that was fixing to take place. In other words, God says, Naomi, there's still something for you to do. Can I say this, and I'm going to say it again probably 42 times before I'm done. There's a great possibility that Ruth would have never made it to Bethlehem if it hadn't been for Naomi. There's a great possibility that Ruth would have died in Moab if it hadn't have been for Naomi. Naomi's the one that said, "Come on and go with me." I understand that she said, "Go back." I don't understand all of that, but she tells her to go back. But Ruth's got a resolve in her heart, and she says, "Whether thou goest, I will go. Whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people. Thy God, my God." You want me to tell you the reason why? Naomi, even though she was in a foreign land, when she decided to return, that's the way Ruth makes it to Bethlehem. Yes, you may be in a foreign country. Yes, your life may be messed up. Oh, but if you'll resolve in your heart tonight, "I'm going back to Bethlehem," God might just let you bring somebody back with you. So there's her restoration. Just as her leaving all started with a choice, her restoration all started with a choice. Can I say that again? Just as her leaving started with a choice, her restoration started with a choice. What was that choice? Her return. Her return. You want God to use you again? Then get back to Bethlehem. You want God to feed you again? Then get back to where the bread's at. Oh, yes, her restoration. Let me show you something. From emptiness to engagement. In other words, from being empty, can I just say it this way, to being full. Look at this. I'm not going to preach it all to you, but I'll give it to you. And some of you preachers can take these subpoints and preach a fire out of them. Watch this. There was the provision of food. There's a provision. Remember, it was a drought when she left. She still went out full. God was still meeting her need. Watch this. She comes back. 50 miles she's traveled. 50 miles from Bethlehem to Moab. From Moab back to Bethlehem. 50 miles. Everybody's talking about her. Everybody's running their mouth about her. Everybody's saying, "I can't even believe this. Is that really Naomi?" But what does God do? God meets her needs in the midst of every bit of it. Her restoration, there's the provision of food. Ruth gleaned in Boaz's field, and Naomi was sustained. Watch this in verse number 4 of chapter number 2. "And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, 'The Lord be with you.' And they answered him, 'The Lord bless thee.' Then said Boaz unto his servants that was set over the reapers, 'Whose damsel is this?' And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, 'It is the Moabitess damsel that came back with Naomi, with Naomi. Can I just say this? She was a Moabitess girl. Ruth is a Moabitess. She was not welcome there. But let me tell you the reason that she was made welcome there is because of Naomi. Because Naomi was a citizen there. Watch this. Naomi out of the country of Moab. Look at verse number 11. And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and thou and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not hitherto for. Look in verse 16. The Bible said, and let fall also some handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them and rebuke her not. You may tell you the reason they didn't rebuke her. You may tell you the reason that Ruth was able to stay where she was at. It was all because of Naomi. He said, hey, look, I took notice of what you've done to your mother-in-law. You may tell you the reason that Naomi had something to come home to her. It was because of Ruth. But the moral of the story is this. Because she returned, there's now food on her table. Think about this. There's provision of food. There's provision of favor. Look what the Bible said. Man, I wish I had time to preach this. So she gleaned in the field until evening and beat out that she had gleaned. And it was about an ephah of barley. I began to study that. And if you study your Bible, you know this. That's a little over 5 gallons, or between 30 and 40 pounds of barley. You said, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this. God's meeting every one of Naomi's needs. God's taking care. You say, preacher, if I get right, if I quit living the life that I'm living, I don't know what'll happen. I don't know what'll happen to me. You hear me and hear me well. I promise you there's a God in heaven that will provide. Watch this. There was provision of faith. Chapter 3, and I wish I had time. I wish I had time to preach this. Ruth is now set at Boaz's table. He's reached her parched corn. They fell in love with each other. They fell in love with each other. She tells Ruth, this is what you need to do. Ruth goes over there, and Ruth comes back. And in verse 16 of chapter 3, and when she came to her mother-in-law, that's Ruth, came to Naomi, she said, who art thou, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done to her. Who art thou? It wasn't that she didn't know who she was. Here's what she was asking. Are you Miss Boaz? Have you married Boaz yet? And of course, Ruth is all upset. You can just imagine the drama that she's got. She tells her what all's went on. Go home and read chapter number 3. And here's what Naomi says. Then said she, that's Naomi, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. You know what she's saying to Ruth? She's saying, hey, look, all you got to do is have a little bit of faith in him. He's going to take care of what he said he would take care of. Can I tell you something tonight? We serve a heavenly Boaz tonight, and I promise you he will take care of what he said he'll take care of. Oh, yes, her restoration. Her return. I'll show you this and I'll be done. Her reward. In her return, we see her from bitterness to blessing. In her restoration, we see her from emptiness to engagement. But in her reward, we see her from sorrow to satisfaction. From sorrow to satisfaction. Boy, when we open up chapter number 1 of the book of Ruth, it's some sad days. It's some hard days. Would you not agree with me? She's buried her husband. She's buried both of her boys. Orpah has turned back. Orpah is no longer mentioned. Whenever you read I can't bog down here. When you read chapter number 4, Boaz bought Orpah also. You read that, he bought all at the hand of Elimelech and Mahlon and Chilion. That's your two boys. Orpah's back in Moab, and everything that she needs has already been taken care of. Boaz bought Orpah. I wonder if anybody ever went and told her, everything's taken care of. All you got to do is come live at Boaz's house. Everything you'll ever need has already been taken care of. You know what? There's a world out there that needs somebody to tell them, Jesus has already paid your sin debt. All you've got to do is come to Calvary. In chapter number 4, he ends up marrying Ruth, and Boaz ends up getting married. Her sorrow is now turned to satisfaction. Can I say something to you tonight? It's never God's will for you to live a moral life. Well, I got 3 head shakes and 2 grunts. It's never. Me and Brother Brian was talking about this for service tonight. It's never the will of God for you to live a moral life. You said, preacher, what do you mean by that? A bitter life. That's not the will of God. When she came back, it wasn't the will of God for her to live a life of bitterness. No, God said, I'm not even going to recognize that. You're still peaceful. You're still lovely. You're still sweet. He continues to call her Naomi. Amen. But watch this. God's going to turn her sorrow into satisfaction. Chapter 4, I don't have time to read all of it. Boy, Mr. Such a One right there, he's interesting. Those 10 witnesses, we could talk about them. But look what the Bible said in verse number 15. Chapter 4, verse 15. And she shall be unto thee, and he shall be. Go back to verse 14. The woman said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that this name may be famous in Israel, and he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than 7 sons, hath borne him. Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi. That's interesting. That's Ruth and Boaz. You know what God's saying? He's saying, I'm not done with you. Look what he says. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Look what it says about her grandson. And he shall be unto thee. Who is thee? Naomi. That's who he's talking about in verse 15. And he shall be unto thee a what? A restorer of life. Can I say her sorrow to satisfaction? A grandson is given. And Obed becomes a restorer of life to Naomi. You ever seen somebody when they're around their grandkid? They act. Y'all might as well shake your heads up. Now, I'm going to act the same way whenever I have one day. It tickled me to death that Miss Tina was holding one of her grandbabies up there this morning. She had a big old fat lip where she had fell and bit through her lip. And I looked at her and she calls her Nina. I said, did Nina do that to you? And that little baby went, chuck her head up and down. I've seen Tina act some of the craziest, I mean crazier than she did in high school. Why? Because of that grandbaby. Let me tell you what God done. All the sorrow that Naomi had been living in, he said, I'm going to turn your sorrow into satisfaction. Watch this. A grandson is given. A future is secured. Naomi's family line redeemed and protected. Redeemed and protected. Can you just imagine Obed gets done eating supper one night. Ruth takes him upstairs to tuck him in. She she probably don't read him a Bible story because they didn't have a Bible then. She talks to him a little bit. Maybe she tells him the story that she had heard about the Red Sea, or maybe about Rahab, or about Jericho, or Ai. I don't know, but she tells him some story. And then he says, well, Mama, tell me about how you got here. And she says, well, here's the way I got here. I was living in Moab. That's where I was from. But your grandma come to me and said, I heard that in Bethlehem, God's doing some great things. And I know I messed up by being here. But I tell you what, Ruth, I'm headed back to Bethlehem, and you can come with me if you want to. And here's what I decided to do. I decided to walk away from everything that I had ever known and go to a different place and live in a different place. And because of that, because your grandma brought me back here, now, son, we get to live in Boaz's house. All the fields that I used to work in, I own. The table that I used to sit at, it's mine now. And it's all because Grandma brought me back to Bethlehem. I thought about this in closing. That Ruth, her sorrows turned into satisfaction. There was a forever legacy. Come start playing softly, Miss Tanya. There was a forever legacy born out of this. I don't know if you noticed what I read in chapter 4, verse 17. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse. Obed's son is Jesse. You know who Jesse's great grandma is? Naomi. You know who Jesse's son is? David. Are you hearing me? You know who the line of Jesus, the line of the tribe of Judah, the one that went to Calvary and died, you know whose bloodline he came through? Obed. The grandson of Naomi. A woman that messed up. A woman that practically lost everything. But God said, hey, since you've repented, since you've returned, there's a reassurance that I'm going to give you. And I'm going to turn your sorrow, amen, into satisfaction. And through that bloodline, the Lord Jesus Christ is here today. Now, I wonder, now understand what I'm fixing to say. Jesus was going to come. You with me? And Mary was just the lady that God used to carry Jesus. But if Mary had a messed up, God would have used somebody else. Can I get an amen right there? God would have used somebody else. Let me tell you the reason why. Here's the reason why. God's plan is going to be fulfilled with you or without you. You're not going to. God's plan will continue. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be in His plan. I want to be in His will. I want to be used by Him. I wonder what would have happened if Naomi just said, nope, I ain't going back. I ain't going back. I'm going to die a bitter life right here in Moab. Well, Jesus would have still come. Somebody else would have had Obed. The reason Naomi, the reason Ruth is there is because Naomi went back. She said, preacher, what's the moral of the story? The moral of the story is simply this. God may have a Ruth in your life. Quit wallowing in your bitterness and start taking Ruth to Bethlehem. Got real quiet. Quit wallowing in everything of the past. man, you're still here. God's still got a plan for your life. God may have a Ruth in your life. God may have an Elisha in your life. God may have a Timothy in your life. But I'm going to tell you something. When you live a bitter life, and others see it, it don't matter how many times you go to the choir. It don't matter how many times you play an instrument. It don't matter how many times you stand and sing. It don't matter how many times you stand and preach. It don't matter how many times you try to serve God. Others will pick up in that in your life. And you may miss out on your Ruth. You may miss out on your Elisha. You may miss out on your Timothy. May God help us to realize, even though we may have messed up, there is a God that is a restorer of us, and a God that can take us from sorrow to satisfaction. God can use us to bring Ruth back to Bethlehem. It all goes back to the very first thing. You got to make a choice. You got to make a choice.